Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Kuf Beis. We're going to be in on the very top line, Amar Rav Kahana, Kuf Beis Omid Aleph. We're learning today, Li'ili Nishmas, Milti Ostreisha. Menachem Avram and Moshe Binyamin. She is sponsored by his children. I remember Milti very well. I was a good friend of his. And we learned for an Aliyah for his Neshama, all the wonderful things that he's done and his children continue to do. L'aliyas Nishmaso. We continue to learn for the safety and the success of all the forces of Tzal and the Kochas of Bitochon, the Ezes Hashem. We still want the Chatufim to be brought back immediately in good health and without any difficulties. There should be a refuah shleima for all of those Nebuch that are in need of it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Shomer, continue to be Shomer on all Klal Yisrael. Okay, we pick up the very top line, Kuf Beis Amud Aleph, with the words Omer Rav Kahana. The Eitzim LaHasoka Tanohi. In yesterday's shiur, we discussed what is the halachic status in terms of Shemitah on wood. Now, we, of course, if it's something is for peiros, if it's for human consumption, so then it clearly has the dinim of Shemitah. We had talked yesterday, about wood, and we had said, stam eitzim lahasaka hinom, them even wood, which may have been not used for animal fodder, but was being used for firewood. So we had said in that situation, the stam usage is for baking or for heating purposes and not for lighting purposes. Stam eitzim lahasaka hin omdim. And now Rav Kahana tells us this is actually a machlokes tanoim. Is this principle, eitzim, stam eitzim, or for firewood purposes, lahasaka is tanoihi. And where do we see this? The following brisa, the Tanya. Ein mosrin peros shvius lo lemishra velo lechvusa. One can't give over peros shvius to be used. And a mishra is a pool where we would soak flax. As Rashi says, ein shorin pishton b'yayin shel shvius. So let's say you had this pool of flax and you wanted to add some wine to it, and the wine was shmita wine, shvius wine. Likewise, v'chein ein mechabsin b'godim devischora. Likewise, you can't bring this to a kavusa, to a laundromat, and use the wine of shmita to go and somehow be mechabes to go and clean these clothing. Because the Tanakhama holds, the Chachamim hold, that this is an improper usage of Shemitah. You're only allowed to use Shemitah for eating purposes and not for this other type of purposes, such as soaking the flax or soaking or cleaning somehow laundry with wine of Shemitah or some other product of Shemitah. Rav Yossi disagrees with the Tanakhama and the Chachamim. Rav Yossi Omer, yes, you're allowed to do this. Nosen perishviz, zoch hamishra, zoch hakvusa. You are allowed to go and use them for these non-eating purposes. It's not a problem of Shemitah in using the wine, let's say, for Mishra or Kvutza purposes. Now, what's the machlokis over here between the Chacham and the Tanakhama and Rav Yossi? My time, the Rabbanim, what's the source of the understanding of the Tanakhama, the Chachamim? So they base it upon the Prasuk, which it says, Amakra, which we've met many times already, Shabbos, La'aretz, Lachem, Li'ochla, that you're only allowed to use Shemitah for eating purposes or anything that is like eating purposes. So Li'ochla, V'lo, L'mishra, Li'ochla, V'lo, L'chvusa. The Chacham, the Tanakhama say you cannot use it for anything other than eating purposes. That's what the pasuk means, liochla. So you can't use it to go and soak flax or to go and clean clothing. However, Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Omer, the pasuk says, Amakra lochem. The pasuk says, Vayisah, Shabbos Oretz lochem liochla. The extra word lochem comes to teach us, lechol tzorcheichem. You can use it for whatever you want. So obviously, each of them has a specific part of the pasuk that they use for their drasha, and now the Gemara is going to have to explain what each one does with the other one's drasha. What do the Chachamim do with the Lachem, and what does Rav Yossi do with the Lachla? So we start off with the Chachamim. Rabbanan, Nam Yochsev Lachem, no. Rav Yossi has a very good taina. Lachem means chol tzorcheichem. What do the Rabbanan do with that? So the Chachamim, the Tanakhama answers, Lachem is used here, dumyo li'ochla. It's teaching us that you can use it for anything that is like eating. It doesn't have to literally be eating, but it has to be like eating. Mimi shahana also uviuro shabin, and this is what we discussed yesterday, that the hana, the usage of the shmita, has to be simultaneously with its destruction. So therefore, this excludes yatsu mishra, this excludes a pool of flax that you're soaking in wine, because the wine is used up right away. The minute you pour that wine into this very foul-smelling pool of flax, so then the wine is no longer potable, the wine is no longer drinkable. But it doesn't have the benefit of softening up the flax until a couple of days. As Rashi says, Yatsu Mishra Uchvusa, he says, Shemisha Shematilin Pishton O Beged B'yayin. The minute you put the wine with the Pishton or the Beged, the wine is immediately Niskalkel. The wine is ruined. So that's the beer of that wine, the Nivar. However, v'hana also, the benefit that you're getting from the wine in the pishtan or the wine in the clothing, eino elo ad shlosha yomim v'dalit. That takes 3 or 4 days to have the benefit. Actually, ha pishtan shari, until the flax has been soaking in this wine for a while. And likewise, v'chein ha-beged, and the clothing has been soaking in the wine for a while. And therefore, v'hainu tanoi. And this, Rashi explains, is the machlokis tanoi that we're Rav Kahana is suggesting, Eitzim La'asoka Tanoihi, is this machlokes between the Chacham, the Tanakama, and Rav Yossi. How is that? The Rabban and the Tanakama, Savrei, Stam Peros Li'achila. The typical usage of fruits, of Shemitah, is for Achila. The wine is for Achila, drinking purposes. V'chayli alayu Kedusha Shvias, and therefore, Stam, it automatically has Kedusha Shvias. Kidimron Le'ele, we said previously, the Chol Dovar Shehana Asa U'biro Shoveh, Chayla, anything where the Hana and the beer are coming simultaneously. When you drink the wine, that's when you're using it up, and that's when you get the benefit. So, therefore, anything that does that is going to be allowable for Shemitah. That's called Li'ochla. Hilkach. Afilu Likton lemishwa uchavisa. Therefore, even though you gather this wine for the purposes of putting in the flax into it or the kvisa for the laundromat, lo mahanya machshava, your thoughts of that's why I'm doing it, can't remove it lafkui isurun lemeheve. They cannot go and remove the issur of Shemitah from them. And since the benefit doesn't occur at the same time as the biur, it doesn't apply according to the Tanakhama. And similarly, the Gabi Eitzim, skipping down a little bit in Rashi, Nami Stam Eitzim Lasoka, the Stam usage of Eitzim is for firewood, that's why it was the purpose of them. Below Chayla, Filu, Eitzim de Mishlan. And therefore, you can't change it around and say, well, this firewood is for lighting purposes as opposed to for firewood purposes. That's the Tanakam's opinion. But Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Savar, Lo Amrinam Stam Peres Liachila Nitnu. We don't say that the Stam usage of Peres is for Achila. Umahan Yibu Machshava. And therefore, it depends what your Machshava was. Like the Ali Konim Ugufanim that we spoke about yesterday, the leaves of the reeds or of the vine. So it will depend. If you're using it for that purposes, so then it does take it away from Stam Eitzim La'asoka, and therefore, V'lo Chalalayu Shvias. It doesn't have Shemitah on them. This is what Rashi says is the preferred pshat, Yesh L'shono Sacherim, V'zu Shemati V'ogon. But this pshat that he just says is the one that he prefers. So, back to the Gemara. This is the Chacham's usage of the words Lochen Li'ochla. Li'ochla means that you have to use it for things that you're getting benefit from, and not L'mishra, and not for L'kavusa. How do you know that? That's because it says Lochen, it has to be like Li'ochla, and Mishra and Kavusa are not like Li'ochla. On the other hand, what does Rav Yossi do? It says Li'ochla. How does he learn that out? If he says Lochen means L'chol Tzorcheichem, so then why does that have to tell us Li'ochla? Rav Yossi, Nam Yochsev Li'ochla. So what does that qualify it? So Rav Yossi would tell you, Amalach, how mi boile l'chitanya. You need the word Li'ochla to restrict L'chol Tzorcheichem to the following, as the Brisa teaches of Tanya. The Brisa says Li'ochla, it has to be for Achila type purposes, v'lo l'milugma. What is milugma? So Rashi explains that milugma is a foreign language word, which in the Lazi Rashi, it tells us a bandage, pirush ritiya, tachboshes, eged, some sort of a bandage. Rashi has the girsa in the Lazi Rashi of plaster to make some sort of a bandage, like a cast. So you can't use it for melugma. So that's what the l'ochla comes to be used for, but you can use it l'mishwa uchavusa. But the Gemara asks, you're telling me atom eliochla means v'lo l'milugma. Maybe not. Maybe oeno eliochla means v'lo l'kvusa, v'lo l'mishura. Maybe that's what it means. So, kishuom elochem, when it tells us the word lochem, that comes to tell us hare kvusa amur, and you are allowed to use it for l'chol tzuchem, meaning for kvusa or mishra purposes. I, homani mekain liochla, liochla lo l'milugma. So, we have a miut and a riboy here. The miyud is to tell us not to use it for melugma, and the riboy is telling us that you can use it for chavusa or mishra according to Rav Yossi. And the obvious question is, why did you learn it that way? Umari is the rabbi of chavusa. Why did you come to include chavusa and mishra ulahotzi as a melugma, and not to allow it for a cast, not to allow it for a bandage? So marbani es chavusa. So the Gemara, the Brisa continues and says, we refer to include chavusa and exclude melugma because kavusa is something that everybody needs. Sheshava b'chol adam. So everybody would get benefit from kavusa or mishra, as opposed to a bandage. Not everybody needs a bandage. Well, therefore, if you have to exclude one, umotzi ani esam alugma she'ein oshava b'chol adam. Not everybody needs it. So these are the explanations of the Chachamim, how do they darshan li'ochlo and lochem, and Rav Yossi darshan li'ochlo and lochem, and that, let us suggest, is the machlokis tanoim about stam eitzim la'asoka or not. So the Gemara says, keman ozlo hod tanya. Now, who does the following brisa go in accordance to? The brisa says, li'ochlo v'lo l'lugma, li'ochlo v'lo l'ziluf. You can't use it for plaster, for a bandage, and you can't use it as well, l'ziluf, which means to sprinkle it on the floor. They used to have dirt floors, and they used to sprinkle wine to have like an aromatic substance, as well as to pat down the ground, like they do in a baseball game in the fifth inning or the seventh inning when they do the watering of the infield. So that's to keep it not dusty. So you're not allowed to do this with wine of Shemitah. So this drasha, li'ochlo lo melugma, li'ochlo lo leziva, li'ochlo lo lasos mimena apiktozin. Apiktozin is to basically use it as some sort of a, Rashi gives the word, foreign language word, lahoki, to make you go and vomit. Pirish in the Lazi Rashi, gorim lahoki, this is a medic, it causes you to go and throw up. So how do you know you're not allowed to use it for either a bandage or for the sprinkling of the wine on the dirt to wet it down? Or to use it for an emetic. So how do you know that? So that's because of the word li'ochla, as opposed to lochem. L'chol tzorcheim means you can use it for everything else, like visa and mishura. So therefore, who is this going like? Obviously, k'man k'rav Yosi, because the rabbanan. If you're telling me this price is in accord with the chachamim, so then it should have also said not only melugma, ziluf, and apiktosin. It should have also said ikonami mishra kvusa. It should have also excluded mishra and kvusa. So obviously, this price goes in accord with the opinion of Rav Yosi. Now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "Rav Yehuda Omer im hashavach v'chulei." We had the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Meir had said that if the person who gave it to the dyer made a change inadvertently, so then he just has to pay for the wool, and he keeps the dyed object. And Rav Yehuda said, "No, it depends. The owner of the wool gets the right to get it back, and only has to pay for the lesser of the two, whether it was the shavach or the yitzia, whichever was the lesser of the two, because Rav Yehuda said he doesn't want the inadvertent ganav over here to benefit." Okay, now we have a simon. We always say out the simonim, it's a skula, simon sabon, samach beiz nun, which will be a mnemonic for the upcoming amoraim that we're going to be discussing. So who are these three amoraim that we're going to be discussing here? The mnemonic of sabon. So Yosef, Reb Yosef, that's the samach. Achorei, the Rabbi Abba, we have the beiz from Rabbi Abba, that's the beiz in the mnemonic. Kamei, the Rav Huna, that's the nun of Rav Huna. So these was the order. Rav Yosef was sitting behind Rabbi Abba, who was sitting in front of Rav Huna. So again, just to keep everything straight, we have Rav Huna, the first person. Then we have Rabbi Abba, the second person. And then we have Rav Yosef as the third person. Now, Yosef, Rav Huna, v'kamar, Rav Huna was sitting and he then spoke up. Again, mentioned many times that when it says v'yosef, it means he was first sitting. He asked permission, so he stood up if he would be able to speak. Then he was given recognized and given permission to sit back down and say his statement. So that's why it often says Yosef and then Yosef. So he was first sitting. He then stood up because he wanted to say something. He was recognized and now is allowed to sit down and say what he wanted to say. In any event, so Rav Huna goes and tells us two things, Halachi Rabbi Shuvan Karcha and Halachi Rabbi Yehuda. So we'll ask in a moment, what are the statements of Yeshua and Karcha, and what is the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, that he's saying the halacha is like them? But when Rav Huna said this din, it upset Rav Yosef. So, Ahadrinu Rav Yosef Lapeh. So Rav Yosef turned away, showing his disagreement. Rashi, in the Gemara in Sukkah, says, Bikas. He did this with anger. In other words, he was upset that Rav Yosef was upset that Rav Huna had said these dinim. Now, why is he upset? We'll see in a moment in the Gemara. Amar. So, Rav Yosef says as follows. Bishlam or Rav Yeshua ben Karcha. I understand why Rav Huna had to mention that Allah is like Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, because that was itzrich, that was necessary, because I might have thought on my own. Yochid v'rabim, halach v'rabim. That normally we were passing against Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, we passing like the rabbim. Oh, we understand. We understand why Rav Huna had to tell us that the halacha is like the yachid. No, that's a chiddush. That's what's perfectly okay for him to tell us that. He has to tell us that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda ben Karcha, because without him saying that, we would have assumed that halacha is like the rabbin. Now, what is this din of Rav Yehuda ben Karcha? So we're asking aside, Rav Yehuda ben Karcha, mahi, what is this halacha? Titanya. So there's a braisa that says, Rav Yehuda ben Karcha, Omer, milvo bishtar ein nifra mehen. That a milvo with the shtar, if a person has a shtar saying that a certain guy owes him money, so Reuven had lent to Chris, the guy, money, and he has a shtar, so ein nifrei mehen, you're not allowed to go collect from them right before their chaga, right before the goyish holidays. Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that there is a din that you're not allowed to go, very beginning of Avodah Zarah, tells us that you're not allowed to go and take money back from the guy during their chagah, because he's going to go thank his God. He says, Baruch Hashem, I paid off my debts, like a mortgage burning ceremony. So he's going to thank his getchka that he went and was able to pay off his debt. So you're not allowed to do this right before the chagah. But that's when you have a document and you'll be able to go collect it any other time. However, if it's a milvah pep, if it's only an IOU, then it's an oral. So it's not so clear that you're going to get this back at any time. So then, a milvah al peh, nifrai mehen, mipneshu kimatsu miyodim. So that you can collect even right before the chagah. And we put aside the rabbinical idea that, oh, he's going to go thank his getchka and say, thank God I paid off my debts. Because in this situation, we would allow him to possibly do that because there's an excellent chance you'll never be able to collect this debt. If you don't collect it right now, since there's no document, it's just the milvah peh, so maybe the witnesses won't be there. Maybe they'll slug up the witnesses in some way. You don't have an airtight case, so therefore the rabbis allowed you to go collect it then. And that was the opinion of Rav Shimon Karcha. The Chacham disagreed with that. So therefore, we understand why Rav Huna had to tell us that the din is like Rav Shimon Karcha. Very good and fine. Now, what made Rav Yosef upset that he turned away? Adrinu Rav Yosef la pei b'kas. So what was that? So el halacha Rav Yehuda lomali. Rav Yosef said, why did Rav Huna have to tell us that halacha is in fact like Rav Yosef? After all, we would have known that anyway, because machlokes, we had a machlokes between Yehuda and Musi Rebeir, our Mishnah, that's in Baba Kama, and then subsequently, v'achekach stami, we then had in the Gemara, in Baba Metzia, a stam Mishnah in accord with Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, why did Rabbi Huna have to tell us that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? Because we have a rule, machlokes v'achekach stami, or machlokes v'achekach stam, halacha kistam. When Rebbe set up the Mishnayis, if he first had a machlokes and then he had a stam, so the Rebbe's telling us the halacha is like the stam, like the opinion that is brought down in the stam Mishnah, so that's how we paskin in that machlokes that we had previously. So Rav Yosef was upset that Rav Huna taught him that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda when it was obvious that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what is the machlokes v'achekach stam? Machlokes, which is our Gemara, our Mishnah here in Baba Kama, which we just learned in the Mishnah, litzbolo odom utzvo shocha. If the person who owns the wool gives it to the one who's going to dye the wool, and he says to him, go color it red, and by accident he did it black, well, vice versa. Shocha utzvo adam. He told him to color it black, and instead he colored it red. So Rav Meir Omer, no sin lo demeit samro, that this guy is an inadvertent ganav, and he's acquired the wool by dyeing it, and all he has to do is pay for the wool. Whereas Rav Yehuda Omer, it depends. And the shevach yosef al yitzia, no sin lo yitzia. The yitzia yitzia al shevach, no sin lo shevach. It all depends. The person who owns the wool, so he's allowed to get it back. And all he has to do to get it back is to pay for the lesser of the two, whether it was the shevach or the yitzia, how much it went up, if that was less than the amount of expenses. So all he has to do is pay for the shevach. If the expenses were less than the shevach, so all he has to do is pay for the expenses. So that's Rav Yehuda's opinion. So that's a machlokes here in Bava Kama. And then Ustam the Bava Metzia, but then the Gemara in Bava Metzia on Daf Ayin Vav tells us over there that Tanan, we learned the Mishnah of Bava Metzia, call him Ishana, anybody that goes and changes around the agreement, Yadolach Tachtona, he will be in the lesser good position. His hand will be on the bottom. He will be in the position that he'll be not as successful. In other words, this is exactly over here. He was Mishana, the wool dyer was Mishana, what he was told. He was told to do black, did it red. He was told to do red, did it black. So therefore, he'll be in the worst position, Yadolach Tachtona, which means that he'll only get the lesser of the two, the Shevach or the Yitzia. Oh, that's a Stam Mishnah in Bava Metzia that shows the halachas like Rav Yehuda. So again, why Rav Yosef questions Rav Huna, why did you have to tell us that the halachas like Rav Yehuda? We would have known it from this principle of Stam Mishnah, v'achekach machlokes, halachik istam. No, by the way, that Mishnah in Bava Metzia continues and it tells us, v'chol achosibo yadol atachtona. If somebody retracts on a deal, so his hand's also on the bottom. We're not going to go into what that deals with right now, but basically it's a similar idea that if you went and retracted on part of the deal, so then you're going to be in the worst position. You'll only get the lesser of two things because you're the one that retracted. Now, this is the question that Rav Yosef had to Rav Huna. No, so why did Rav Huna tell us this? After all, if it's a stam mishnah v'achekach machlokes, that is the halacha that the Gemara always brings out that we follow the Stam Mishnah. So what did Rav Huna have to tell us that Loch is Rukh of Yehuda? So Rav Huna, itztrich. He said, no, it was necessary because Sol Kedai Dechaminuch ain't say the Le Mishnah, Ustam V'yachakach Mechlokesi. Because you know what? Rav Huna felt that there is no order in the Mishnayis. In general, just because this Mishnah is listed before this Mishnah, so you have Bava Kama before Bava Metzia, that doesn't mean that that's the way that they come. And in fact, maybe the Bava Metzia Mishnah is the first Mishnah. It's a Stam, and only afterwards, V'achakach Machlokes, and then Bava Kama came afterwards. And therefore, we don't have the halacha here of Machlokes v'achakach stam, halachik is stam, because it actually was a stam and then achakach machlokes. So that's why Rav Huna said, I have to tell you that halacha is like Rabbi Huda. No, what does Rabbi Yosef do with that? Rabbi Yosef says, if that's your approach, you got a problem with this whole din of machlokes v'achakach stam. The halacha is like the stam. How do you ever know which one is the first one and which one is the second one? If you're telling me that there's no Ain say to Lemishna. Ihachi Rav Yosi says, so that every single time, call machlokas yachakach stama, name ain't say to Lemishna, ustam yachakach machlokasi. So then you've just destroyed this principle. No, what would Rav Huna say to that? So Rav Huna, he says, no. Now he has a double negative here, so just keep listening carefully. Ki lo amrina, when do we not say ain seder l'mishnah? In other words, when do we say that there is a seder to the Mishnah? We don't say that you can just have them in any order. That's b'chod mesechta. In the same mesechis, so when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi put them all together in this mesechta, so then he specifically cataloged them in an order. And therefore, the Mishnah that's on the first pages of the mesechta is definitely before the Mishnayis that are on the latter pages of that mesechta. And therefore, in the same mesechta, we say that there's an order. When do we say that there's no order? I will betray Mesechtas in two different Mesechtas. Then, Amrinan, then we do say, Ein Seder L'Mishnah, and we do say, let's say, Brachos and Shabbos. So who says that Brachos comes before Shabbos? Maybe Shabbos comes before Brachos. So when you're dealing with two different Mesechtas, even though we have an order for the Mesechtas, there is no halacha here that you can learn out to say that this is a Machlokas V'achakach Stam when you're dealing with two Mishnayis, two different Mishnas, two different Mesechtas. And therefore, that would be the case of Bava Metzia and Bava Kama. So therefore, they're two different Mesechtas, and therefore, Rav Huna's argument was, you can't say over here that there's an order to the Mishnayis. Maybe the Bava Metzia one came before the Bava Kama one. No, what does Rav Yosef say to that? That he was upset? After all, Rav Huna seems to have a good reasoning. So Rav Yosef says, no, Bava Metzia, Bava Kama, Bava Basra are not three different Mesechtos. They're one Mesechta called Meseches Nezikin. Just like we have Kalim, which is 30 Mishnayis Prokim. So it's broken up by some into Kalim Kama, Kalim Mitzia, and Kalim Basra. So you have the 30 Prakim of Nizikin that are broken up into the first 10 of Baba Kama, the second 10 of Baba Mitzia, and the third 10 are Baba Basra. So Rav Yosef holds that Baba Mitzia and Baba Kama are the same Mesechta. It's called Mesechta Nizikin, and therefore there is an order. Kula Nizikin, Chod Mesechti, all of the Nizikin Babas. Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra is one Mesechta. So that's what Rav Yosi says. And therefore, why did Rav Huna have to tell us this? Because there is an order over here. Yesh say the Lemishnah of Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, and Baba Basra. And therefore, if Baba Kama comes before Baba Metzia, Mishnah and Baba Kama is considered before the Mishnah of Baba Metzia. And therefore, Kul Mesechta he, one Mesechta. That's teretz number one. Vibayi Seima, teretz number two, Mishum Dektani Lo Gabi Hilchasa, Psikta. Because where do we find this halacha that Rav Yehuda is Paskid like him, this Stam Mishnah in Bava Metzia, so that is listed amongst the other Mishnayis there that are Stam Hilchasa. So therefore, Kol Mishnah Yod Al Tachtona was the next Mishnah over there, and as Tosus points out, this Mishnah there had nothing to do with anything. As you see in Tosus, Dibur Maskul Gabi Hilchasa Psikta, at the end of the Tosus it says, Yesh Beforshim, Diktoni Lo Biloshon Hilchasa Psikta, why do we use this Loshon Hilchasa Psikta? The Lishna, the Kol HaChozer, the Kol Mishnah, Mashma Livsok Hilchasa, this language of kol had this, kol had that. So this is a language of psak halacha. And therefore, since it's listed, the second terence is, since it's listed amongst this psak halacha, so therefore, we paskin that way, and that's why Rav Yosef says, I don't understand why Rav Huna had to tell us this. Okay. Mark continues and says, Tana Rabbanon, Hanosei Mos Lishlucho, if a person gives money to his shaliach, and we turn to Kuf Beis, Omud Beis, Likach Lochitin. So Reuven gives to his shliach to go and buy some wheat from Shimon. But instead, the shliach erred and he bought barley, or vice versa. He was told to buy saorin, the lochach ben chitim, and instead he bought wheat. So we have two different opinions here. Tanya Chada, the first brayse tells us, in pachasu pachasu lo, v'mosiru hosiru lo. that if this item went up or down in price, so then the shaliach is the one who gets the benefit or the loss, because he didn't do what he was supposed to do, and therefore he's basically an inadvertent ganav, and as a result, he acquires this wheat or barley inadvertently, and therefore, if it goes up or down in price, so he's the one that gets the benefit, and he has to go pay back the money to the person who sent him originally. That's the first brisa. Tony Chad, the second brisa says, in pachasu, pachasu lo. Yes, if it went down, so he suffers. However, if it went up in price, so he was told to buy wheat, and instead he bought barley, and then barley went up. So that in Hosiru, here in this situation, we don't say that this Shaliach gets all the benefit. Hosiru li emtsa. But they split it. He was acting basically as a shituf, as a partnership over here, and therefore they split the profits. So we have two different prices over here. How do you reconcile the two different prices? So I'm Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, Lokash, not a problem. There are two different opinions. Ha Rav Meir, Ha Rav Yehuda. The first price says, well, the guy was an inadvertent ganav, and therefore he acquired it, and therefore whether it goes up or down, it's his. He acquired it. And all he has to do is go pay back the original money to the person that sent him to buy the wheat and or the barley. That's Rav Meir's opinion. That's the first price. Second price, on the other hand, is Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda disagrees with Rav Meir in terms of that he's an inadvertent ganav, and therefore he holds he's not an inadvertent ganav, and therefore if it goes down, he didn't do the shlichus, so he has to pay for it. But if it goes up, so he is in fact, as we'll explain, a partner with the original one who sent him the money. We'll have to see why, and we'll go further in the Gemara. So Gemara says, "Ha Rav Meir, a machine kone." We understand Rav Meir. That's very simple. He says the guy was an inadvertent ganav, and therefore he acquired it, and therefore all he has to do is pay back the original amount of money that he was given. Rabbi Yehuda, the Omar, Shinu Eino Kone. Rabbi Yehuda says he's not an inadvertent ganav, and therefore he didn't acquire it. And therefore, if it went down, so then he's held accountable. He was Poshea, basically. And if it went up, so then they're partners, and he gets to share in the partnership benefits, but he doesn't keep all of it. Now, Maskev Rabbi Loza questions this, says, Mimai, why are you assuming that this is the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? Maybe, Dilma, Adkan lo kama Rabbi Meir, maybe, in fact, Rabbi Meir only says in this situation that the ganav acquires it because Adkan lo kama Rabbi Meir ela b'midui d'chazi le'legufe. That's because the person said, I specifically want wheat. I specifically want barley. And that was for my benefit. Likewise, in the case of the dye, I specifically want black. I specifically want red. Or in the case of the bench or the wood that he made into a bench or into a chair inadvertently. So the guy said, I wanted this. So where it's something legufe, where it's something that he specifically wants it, so then we're very much interested in his getting exactly what he wanted. If he doesn't get it, so then the guy's an inadvertent ganav. But maybe, avul uschora, in our case over here, we gave him money for schora purposes. No, I want you to do business for me. Maybe Ramey would say then, avul uschora, lo amar. Maybe Ramey says, then the guy's not so makbid. Okay, I told you to go buy wheat, but you bought barley. Maybe you thought barley was a better price, and you'd be a better investment for me, or vice versa. So maybe Ramey doesn't argue in that situation. That's Rabbi Loza's question. And therefore, Elam Rabbi Loza, the way to reconcile the two psakim of the brisa, the first one is, in Mosiro, Siro lo, in Pachasu, Pachasu lo, and the other one that says, the second price that it says, Im Hosiru, Hosiru Le'emsa. So Rabbi Loza says, Hovah Rameir. Both of them are Rameir's opinion. And it depends. The Lo Kasha, why is it seemingly a different answer if it's both Rameir? Kan Li Achil or Kan L'Shora. When you're dealing with Achila, the guy says, I want for supper, I want wheat. I don't want barley, I want wheat. Well, I want barley, I don't want wheat. So there, again, he's machbid on what he wanted. As opposed to, for business purposes, kan l'schora, as Rashi says, libra l'maschal av l'schora, b'chol mididik or revacha nichle. He gave it to him for profit. And therefore, if it profits, even though it wasn't where I said I should do it, I'm very happy. V'chi osiru lav shinuyo. Okay, I didn't tell you to do that, but thank God you're a smart businessman and you bought something else. So therefore, I'm just as happy with that. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar explains that they're both in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Meir, neither of them is Rabbi Yehuda. Now, this teretz of Rabbi Yochanan was laughed at. Machaku Allah b'marava. Rashi, elsewhere in Zvachim, tells us that they laughed at him. Mitzachaki, or Mechayilchu Alei. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that this was Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael, b'marava, which is Eretz Yisrael, they didn't like Rabbi Yochanan's teretz. Because they said, the Rabbi Yochanan, leave with the Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Yochanan's teretz was not like Rav Elazar. Rav Yochanan said that one brice is Rav Meir and one brice is Rav Yehuda, so they laughed at that because the chi mi hodio lebal chitin shiach dechitin lebal mos. Because basically, in Eretz Yisrael, they laughed at this because they said, How is the person who's selling the wheat or selling the barley, how is he supposed to know that he's giving it over to the agent, to the shaliach, or he in fact was giving it over to both of them as a shutvis? He was giving it over to the one who sent them. So that's why in Eretz Yisrael they laughed at this teretz of Yochanan. How did the one who sold the barley or the wheat know that he was giving it over as a shutvis or he was giving it over just to the shaliach? So that's the question that they laughed at Rav Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael. Now, this is not agreed upon by everybody. Maskif lo Rav Shmuel bar Sasrati. So Rav Shmuel bar Sasrati said to those people in Eretz Yisrael, to Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, who laughed at Rav Yochanan, he says, if you're right, ihochi, even in the case of chitin v'chitin, namilo. So then, why would, in the case of chitin, where he was told to buy chitin, and in fact he bought chitin, so then why does it, in that situation, be a partnership? How is the person who's selling the wheat supposed to know that he's not giving it to only the shaliach, he's giving it to the guy that sent the shaliach? So, I don't understand you, Marava. I don't understand this opinion of Yosef Chanina. How can you laugh at Rav Yochanan? Because you're saying that, how is the one who's selling the wheat or the barley supposed to know who he's giving it to? Is it the shaliach or is it both of them? Well, even in the chit of the kirtan case, how is he supposed to know that he's giving it to both of them and not just to the one who's buying it, the actual shaliach? So Amar Rabbi Yavo, Rabbi Yavo says, no, it's a big difference. Shiny chiti v'chitin. In the case of wheat, he was told to buy wheat, and he bought wheat, the shlichus ka'avi, he's doing the shlichus, and v'chi ba'al ha'ma'iz dami. If he's doing what he was asked to do, so then he's functioning basically as the original owner. And therefore, the one who sent them is acquiring the wheat. But if he didn't do what he was asked to do, so then there's no way of knowing whether he's acquiring it or whether the original person is acquiring it. And therefore, in the case of chitin, he's told to buy chitin, and he buys sorin, so Rabbi Yavoh says, taka, that is a good question. How is the one who's selling the barley supposed to know that he's giving it over as a shutvis and not giving it over just 100% to the shaliach? And Rabbi Yavoh says, I'll show you that I'm right. Teda, because we learned in a Mishnah, this is a Mishnah in Arochin, Ditnan, Echor ha-makdish nechosov, if a person is makdish all of his nechosov, or if he takes himself erikulai, echor ha-marech esas, when he says, I establish myself that I owe my erich, which is based upon age and gender, a certain set amount based upon a person's age and a person's sex, so then he has to give that to the base of mikdash. If a person is either makdish all of his nechosov, or he's marech esatzmo, and that evaluation is going to take up all of his property, so ein lo b'chsus ishto. Nevertheless, the gizbor, the Beis HaMikdash, cannot go and take his wife's clothing. And likewise, v'lo b'chus banav, and can't take his children's clothing. And they can't even take wool that he'd given over to the dyer. V'lo b'tzeva shetzova lishmon, if he gave over to a dyer to go color the wool, and it was for his wife or for his children, so the gizbor can't take that. V'lo b'sandlim chadashim shelokon lishmon, and likewise, if he purchased shoes, even though he didn't give the clothing or the shoes yet to his wife or his children, so those are also not included in his property that it can be given over to the gizbor. V'lo b'sandlim, the shoes that are chadashim shelokon lishmon, that weren't even given over yet to his wife or the children. Nevertheless, the gizbor, the Beis Din, the Beis HaMikdash, can't go take them. Why not? B'mai? Oh, mustn't it be, Rabbi Yavoh says, Lema hochanami, that in this situation, mi hodio let saba shiachnu tzivul isha. Because in the situation here, who said that the dyer or the shoemaker was giving it over to the wife or to the children, and not to the husband? Mi hodio let saba shiachnu tzivul isha. Elo, mustn't it be, this principle, Rabbi Yavoh says, lab mishum damrina, the shlichus ka'avit, that since, in fact, the shoemaker or the dyer over here was doing the proper shlichus that he was asked to do, and the husband therefore is doing what he was asked to do for his wife on behalf of his wife and his children, and therefore uchiyad ishto dami, and therefore he's like the yad of his ishto, and therefore hochanami shlichusu ka'avid uviyad balabayis dami, and therefore in the case of the person giving money to somebody to go and buy the wheat, and he buys the wheat, so it's because he did a shlichus, so it goes back to him. But if he didn't do the shlichus, so then it doesn't go back. Oh, Rabbi Bo says this is a raya to my answer. On the other hand, Rabbi Abba, don't get confused, Rabbi Yavoh and Rabbi Abba, I'm a Rabbi Abba, lo, that is not true. In fact, the halacha is as follows, that lo, kol ha-makdish d'chosev ein dato aksus ishto banav. The reasoning over here isn't as you're saying, Rabbi Yavoh, it's because when a person is makdish all of his d'chosev, he includes his own d'chosev. He doesn't include his wife's d'chosev or his children's d'chosev. Now, that's Rabbi Abba's teretz. Rabbi Zera doesn't like that. Maskev Rabbi Zera says, wait a second. if you're saying that it wasn't in his intention to go and give over his wife or his children, so it likewise isn't his intention to give over his tefillin. And nevertheless, Utanan, we learn in that Mishnah in Arachin, or a nearby Mishnah in Arachin, so it says, V'chidaito shalodim al tefillin, nevertheless, Utanan, ha-maktish l'chosav, malalot tefillin, that even his tefillin are included as things that the Beis Din, the Gizbar, can go and take from him to go and satisfy his hektish, his l'chosav, and his mar, and or his marich zatzmo. So Rabbi Zera says, you see, that his tefillin certainly wouldn't be, have one wouldn't have thought to have considered, and yet they are. So why wouldn't his wife's clothing, his children's clothing also be considered? So Abaye says, no. Amalei Abaye. Abaye says back to Rabbi Zera, in, yes, daito, a person's das, is on his tefillin. Daito shel odom al tefillin, but not on his wife's clothing or his children's clothing. Because hamakdish nechosev, when he was makdish as nechosev, he thinks he's doing a great mitzvah. He says, "Hamakdish nechazav sabar mitzvah ka'avidna. I'm doing a mitzvah over here, giving money to the Beis Hamikdash." And therefore, he includes his tefillin. He thinks he's doing a mitzvah. However, ve'ein daito shalom d'malchus ishto banav mishum eva. But even though he thinks he's doing a mitzvah, he says, this is not going to be good for shalom bayis if I take my wife's clothing, if I take my children's clothing, give them over to the Beis Hamikdash. So his own tefillin, he'll figure a way how to go and put on tefillin, even if he doesn't have his own pair. But his wife's clothing, his children's clothing, were never included. So therefore, that's why Abaye says that Rav Zera's question is wrong. And therefore, Rabbi Abba is right. He never intended to have his wife's or his children's clothing included. We ask again on Rabbi Abba. He says, wait a second. But we're dealing here in this Mishnah in Arachin with the following. If a person says, I owe a certain amount of money as erkioli, so the basin is allowed to go and take a mashkon, a collateral, to make sure that he pays up. Now, if you're saying that a person didn't have intention to have his wife's clothing, his children's clothing included in this, so he certainly didn't intend to have his own objects taken as well. If he didn't intend to have his wife's or children's objects, he certainly didn't intend to have his own objects taken against his will, bal korcho. So certainly not. So then why are you telling me that for his wife and his children he didn't have intention? El Omer Abba, so Rabbi Abba therefore must say, this is a good point that Rav Hoshaya raised, and he says, kol ha-maktish nechosim, when a person is maktish is nechosim, nasa kemi shehikna lohen ksus ishto bonam mi'ikara. He is maktish his own nechosim, but anything that he was planning on giving to his children or to his wife, it's as if it's in their possession already. Ki'ilu, it's as if, hikno lehen, as if they own their ksus, their own garments, and therefore they're not his, and therefore they can't be used as a payment for his obligation. Mark continues and says, Tanur Rabban Mulan Falling Brights, Lokeach Sod B'Shem Chaveiro. If a person goes and buys a field, and he says, B'Shem Chaveiro, I'm buying it in the name of my friend. We'll see in a moment what this means. We don't force the person who he bought it in the name of, his friend, to go and sell it to him. We'll see in a moment what this means. However, at the time that he bought the field, he says, Almanas, it's on the condition that you will sell it to me, then we force the friend, Kofanos Olimkar. Now, this is very enigmatic. What does this brisa mean? So he says, my comrade, what in the world is this Tana telling us in this brisa? So Amar Sheshes explains the brisa as follows. Hochi Kamar. This is what the Bryce is telling us. Halokeach soda mechavero b'shem reish gelusa. The guy doesn't want to have problems with this property, and he knows that this property is a contended property. But if he says, I'm buying it in the name of the reish gelusa, the exilarch, nobody's going to start up with him. So therefore, he wants to remove any contentiousness from his buying this property. So he says, I'm buying it on behalf of the reish gelusa, to get all the other buyers to walk away and not start up with him. So, halokeach soda mechavero. If the person is buying this field from another person, Mechavero, and he says, I'm buying it on behalf of the Reish Gelusa. So then, what the Bryce is telling us, Ein Kofen Oso Reish Gelusa, we don't force the Reish Gelusa Limkar to go and write him a document saying, yes, I'm selling to. Because right now, all it says is that the Reish Gelusa bought it. So even though the person who bought it has it in his possession, he doesn't have a document that says it's his. So what the Bryce is telling us, the Stam default position is we don't force the Reish Gelusa to go write him a document saying, yes, this property says it's mine, but I sold it to you. However, if in the original sale he said, V'amar al-Minas, if he said, the person who bought this property said, I'm buying it on behalf of the Reish Gelusa on the condition that the Reish Gelusa sells it to me, so then we do force, Kofedis Reish Gelusa Limkar, we force the Reish Gelusa to go write him a document saying that, yes, it belongs to you. That's how we have to understand the Brisa. Now let's go back and look at that. Rav Sheshet said, Amar, Halokei Asar D'B'Shem Reish Kalusa, Ein Kofer Nosar Reish Kalusa Limkra. We don't force the Reish Kalusa to go and sell it. Now, what does it mean to give him a document? So, Miklal, the implication is, Mikna Kanyole, that in fact, the person who purchased this field, even though he said he's buying it in the name of the Reish Kalusa, in fact owns it. So let us say, Lemo Pliga the B'nai Marava. Let us say that this argues with the B'nai Marava, Yosef Bichanina, that we said before, who questioned Rav Yochanan, who said, the Arme, V'chibiho Din Labal Chitin, Shiak Nechitin Labal Abais. This seems to argue with that opinion from Marava, Rav Yosef Bichanina, who said to Rav Yochanan, who says that the person who's selling the wheat knows to sell it to the Shaliach as well as the original person? How does he know? So the Gemara says, "E mishum ha lokashi." If that's the only problem, that's not a problem because kigon dodil abal sode viodinu l'sade. Because he mentioned it at the time of the sale. He said, "Listen, I'm buying this on behalf of the Reish Kalusa, but it's really I'm buying it for myself, and therefore I want the Reish Kalusa to eventually write me a document." So then, wait a second. Gemara says, "Elaim sefer," but it says in the sefer, "Al menas kovin osar Reish Kalusa limkor." If he said al menas, then we force the Reish Kalusa to go write him a document. Why am I? The lame Reish Kalusa, the Reish Kalusa should be able to say, Lo yikarayichu be'ina, v'lo zulasayichu be'ina. What am I doing over here? I don't want to be involved in this. I don't want the honor that you're buying into my name, and I don't want the zulusa, I don't want the negativity that's involved in that my name is being thrown about over here. So, Rav Sheshet seems to be saying over here that we could force the Reish Kalusa. Reish Kalusa says, I don't want to have anything to do with this. So therefore, Elohim Abayabai says, Hochimah, this is the way you have to understand this Brisa. The Brisa is saying, Halokei Asar D'B'Shem Chadero, Reish Kalusa, and the source of Sash changes around the gears over here, and he reads it as follows. He says, Halokei Asar D'B'Shem Chadero, and we turn to Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph, and he's buying it in the name of the Reish Kalusa, Ein Kofin Es HaMocher Limkor Zibnachwita. We don't force the seller, the original seller of the property, to write a second document. But if he wrote down originally that this was on the condition that you're going to write me another document, then we force him to write another document. Now, we said, we don't force him to write it, so then, of course, Pshita, why would we think that you have to force him to write it? So the Gemara says, no, we might have thought that you know that I was buying it for myself, and I only used the name of the Reish Kalusa, I wanted to remove anybody's contentiousness from this over here. So therefore, that is the only reason why I'm doing this. Elo, adaita, the cause of Lushtar Rechvina, and it was with the understanding you would write me another shtar. Oh, but since we didn't specifically mention that Kamash Ralan, that the guy has the right to say, I thought that he was going to write you, the Reish Kalusa was going to write this shtar, the Lushtar Rechvina, and not me. So therefore, that's why it has to say that he doesn't have to write it. But the Imam Allah Manas Kofin is a moch limkor. But if he wrote specifically, or if he said specifically that I want you to write me another document, so pshita, that would be obvious. The Gemara says no. There, it's also not obvious. Letzricha, you need it because the Amalul Lasaad they come in the day because he did say in front of the witnesses that listen, I want you to know Chazu the Shtar Achrinu Kabina. I'm going to want a second shtar because I'm not really buying for the Reish Kalusa. I'm buying for myself. So Ma'ad the Tema Motzi Amalei, you might have said that the seller can in that say to him, I thought the Reish Kalusa was the one that would write you the shtar. Amino Shtara Mehech the Kosher Kal to Bishmei Kamis. I didn't know you meant me. I thought you meant him. Oh, the Chiddush is Kamash Balon. In this situation, the Amalei, that the person who's buying this field can say to the person who's selling the field, no, it's not the Reish Kalusa, it was you. Lohachi, Tarchi, the Amalei, Uli, Edim, Kamach, the Minachu, the Kabina. That's why I specifically mentioned it publicly in front of the Edim. I want a second shtar. And it's only on Manas that you're going to give me the second shtar. Not that the Reish Kalusa is going to be a shtar. He could say, hey, I have nothing to do with this. I don't want your covet, and I don't want your Zilusa. But you, the person who's selling it, he said specifically, I want you to write me a second shtar, and that's why the chiddush over here is that he can force him to go write him a second shtar. Normally, people don't want another shtar. As Tosus says, what's the reason over here that we want a second shtar? The top Tosus, he says, let the Edom write a second shtar, because they were there. So Tosus answers, nobody wants to have multiple shtaris out there with their names on it. It looks like maybe there's a little shenanigans going on. So in this situation, we said nothing, so then you can't force him to write a second shtar. But in the situation, we said almanas, then he can force the seller to go write a second shtar. That was what was intended. And with this, we conclude today's shiur.